And he had to go to the cross for our sins, not for his own. And he became the substitute for our sins, because we are all sinners, the Bible says. And we deserved to be punished in hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But Jesus loved us so much, and he did not want us to spend eternity in hell. And if you would only admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus died for you on the cross, and call out to Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, and God will promise you eternal life. Meaning you and I would spend eternity with God in heaven after our physical death. Each of us would have to die one day. And Good Friday is about Jesus coming so that he would go to the cross. It is really a love story, and a story of how Jesus, being fully God, left the comfort of heaven to come down to planet Earth to be fully man, so that he can set us free from our slavery to sin. But Jesus did not only want to give us eternal life, but he wanted also to give us life here and now. Abundant life, he calls it. A life that is filled with purpose. A life that is filled with meaning. Why are you here today? Not just today. Why are you here even on planet Earth? What are you doing? And where are you going after you and I die? We will have to die, isn't it? The last time I checked statistics, it's 1 out of 1 or 100% of us will have to die. How many of you don't want to die? Me too. All right. The rest of you are liars. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, sure, we don't want to die. But what I meant, and you know what I meant, every one of us will one day have to die, like it or not. But Jesus wanted us to have abundant life here and now on planet Earth. And the Bible tells us he loves us. And his brand of love is not the kind of love we find in Hollywood. You know, just slightly more than 2 months ago, the whole world celebrated Valentine's Day. How many of you had flowers? None? Man, what a miserable lot. My wife didn't get flowers too, so you are okay. But, you know, it is supposed to be a romantic holiday. And flowers are given, isn't it? Alright? And we find that chocolate were given to people who are special to you. But it is just a romantic holiday. But did you know that Valentine's Day had its origin in the early church? Valentine was actually the name of a pastor, Valentinus. Valentinus himself was living during the time of the Roman Empire, and he was helping a lot of Christians escaping from persecution from the Roman rulers. But eventually he was found out and he was caught, and he was actually killed for his belief in Jesus Christ on February 14. That's how Valentine's Day came about. Valentine himself experienced the true love of Jesus and his Savior. He realized that it was Jesus who died for him on the cross. And the message that he wanted to bring out to the rest of the world is that it wasn't just a romantic love. It's about a real person, Jesus himself, who came and died. Love, you would say, is the most natural thing in the world. The Beatles sang She Loves You, Yeah, 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 isn't it? All right. Beatles are coming back. They are rather retro, but they are coming back in popularity. But it's not about this kind of love. But and if you have been around a bit long enough, like I have, you will know that it is very costly to love another person. What happens is that things will not turn out as you would expect them. And in any love relationship, you will get hurt when you give your love to someone. Whether it's romantic love or a relationship in a family or with friends, you will get jilted. You will get betrayed. You will get used. And after a few bad experiences, you don't want to trust anyone any longer. You will retreat into a shell, like a tortoise. Because in a real relationship, you want to be real. And that is when you become vulnerable. You become exposed. And when others see the real you, they become disappointed. It is the same when Jesus came. He was vulnerable. He picked guys like Peter and Judas Iscariot to be on his team. When Jesus knew fully well in advance that one day Peter would deny him, and he knew that Judas would betray him. But the Bible tells us that he loved them to the end. He allowed himself to be vulnerable, to get hurt. Jesus loves them anyway. And then we find in today's passage in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. It's on the PowerPoint here. Let me just read them to you. As the Father has loved me, verse 9, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Now, John chapter 15 was written to Christians. And in this chapter, Jesus referred to himself as the vine and the Christians, the followers, as branches. It may help you to think of Jesus as a tree trunk, and we are branches. Or if that's still too difficult to imagine, then imagine Jesus as the human body, and we are the limbs just dangling from it. And we are called to bear fruit. And this passage is really not about eternal life, but it is addressed to Christians. And Jesus is asking for evidences that he is alive in us. So today, I want to address you who are Christians, you who call yourself followers of Jesus, you and I who call ourselves disciples of Jesus. And from this passage, there are three truths about Jesus. In verse 9, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And the first truth is, Jesus is the source of love. And when I say love, I mean true agape love. And as verse 1 rightly points out to us, and you do need to remember that as Jesus has loved, he has received the love of the Father. And he himself now is telling us, "I loved you." Jesus has experienced true love. And because of that, he now loves us. And we have been asked to remain in my love. What do we mean by remain? It's a strange word. Some translation would use the word abide. Let me just suggest two ways to explain the word remain. It is to continue staying in a lifestyle where love is practiced, or to be occupied with the lifestyle of Jesus. But that's tough, because you and I know that, number one, unless you have sinned or experienced love, you have received love, it is impossible for you to show love. Because you and I, you know yourself too well. We're all selfish, prideful people, and we cannot truly love another person, even on our best days. So how do I continue in the lifestyle of Jesus, which is love? The next verse tells us how. "If you obey my commands," and that is in the second verse, verse 10. "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love." You and I, we can live like Jesus. And in verse 10, Jesus tells us, if only we're willing to obey his commands. You see, the problem is this. Today, in our churches, there are many professing Christians who will no longer tolerate that word command, because in their own hearts, they are saying, "Nobody is going to tell me how to live my life. I'm going to live it any way I please." Even Christians would say that. And we only have one answer, and that is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The Apostle John said, "The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands, is a liar." So if you and I today, we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus Christ, and we say we know him, but we do not do what he commands, God calls us a liar. I don't call you a liar. Don't get upset with me. All right? It is God who calls you a liar if your lifestyle does not match up to that of Jesus. And what is the result? The result is that your life will not be fruitful. You will not be able to bear any fruit. And at this point, can I just ask you, if in your life it has not changed in the last 5 years, 10 years, but you've been to church since birth, I only can plead with you to examine your own heart. Because in truth, perhaps Jesus is not your master after all. And one day when you stand before Jesus, he's going to say to you, "I don't know you. Oh, but Lord, I went to Calvary Chapel. I serve in Calvary Chapel. I give money to Calvary Chapel. But Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you workers of evil, because you are serving only yourself. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Are there evidences of Jesus in my life? Or was your life a big lie? Or when you come here, it's just mere lip service. Lip service. But Jesus says, if you consistently obey me, then we find in the passage, verse 11, John chapter 15, if you consistently obey Jesus, Jesus said, I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. If you and I consistently obey Jesus, Jesus said, only in obedience you will experience true joy. The only kind of joy that Jesus can give. And by now you should be asking Pastor John, okay, now tell us, what is this command that we have to obey? Verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 15. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And this brings us to the second truth about Jesus himself. The second truth is this, that Jesus is the personification of love. You see, the command that Jesus gave us this morning is crystal clear. That you and I, we are to love one another when it's convenient to us. Is that what the Bible says? Or when I feel like it? Or when I can afford it? No. Jesus says, you and I, we are to love one another the way he loved us. And how did he love us? This verse tells us, he went to the cross and he died for us. And that's the greatest demonstration of love one human can show to another. And this is what Jesus expects of each and every one of us. To be able to love another person unselfishly, sacrificially, and voluntarily. In the same way Jesus went to the cross voluntarily. The Bible said he laid down his life. He gave up. He wasn't trapped. He wasn't cornered, but he went willingly. And he laid down his life for the sins of the world. Jesus is love. He's the perfect picture of what love is. He is love in person. And that is the reason why every time about this time of the year we celebrate Good Friday. And that's the message of Good Friday, that Jesus went to the cross. And his blood was shed. He was killed so that he can pay the penalty of sin on our behalf. And having done that, you and I today can approach the throne of God to ask for forgiveness for our sin. You have sinned. You may not agree. But that's what God said. You and I, we're all sinners and we're bound for hell. But we today can have forgiveness because of what Jesus did on the cross. The third truth about Jesus we find in the same verse, verse 12, that Jesus commands us to love. And you may be asking right now, why would anyone need to be commanded to love? I mean, it sounds so fake, don't you think so? If someone has to be commanded to love, and even if you're commanded to love and you are showing love, that kind of love can't be real, because it's like you walking up to somebody and say, hey, you know, RJ, love Peter, all right? And RJ will be looking at me and say, what? You mean love can be commanded? And why? Why is it that you and I need to be commanded? And here's the reason why. Because this kind of love is very, very, very hard to do. And more often than not, you and I, we don't feel like doing it. And it's easier for us to kind of say, oh, let's just forget it, because it is impossible. So the question is this. How? How can I love the way Jesus did? Verses 14 and 15 tells us how. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And how can I love the way Jesus did? Number one, you do need to know that Jesus called us friends. He has brought us into a very close relationship with Him, and He now calls us His friends, and He tells us everything. Don't you like that? That's what friends do. There are no secrets. He tells us everything that He hears from His Father. And notice here that it is not important what you call Jesus. You can call Him Master, you can call Him Lord, you can call Him Savior, you can call Him God. But if your life does not match up, those are simply empty, meaningless words. But what is important is what Jesus calls you. And only when you obey Him in everything He says, Jesus says, I call you friends, and I will tell you everything. Has it been a point in your life you've been wondering, hey, how is it that I don't hear from God? Like all the others, they keep saying, God told them this, God told them that. And the answer is very simple. You have been living a very disobedient life. That's why God cannot talk to you. You don't want to hear His voice. But if you're a friend, He will call you friend, and He will tell you everything. And in fact, let me just take this one step further. Jesus used the word command 5 times in this passage. Why? He wanted to make the point that it is not natural for us to want to do it. And that is why a command is necessary. So, you and I need to know that it is impossible to love sacrificially without God's help, without God's strength, without God's power. So obviously, the next question is, where can I get this power? Where can I get this strength? Take a look at the last two verses. The last two verses will tell you. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Where can I get his power? This verse tells us very clearly. You just need to ask. Ask for the empowering of God, the Holy Spirit. Love is not, you and I know, they're just not mere words or some mushy feelings you and I feel every now and then. But true love expresses itself in action. True love gives sacrificially. And you and I may even be called up, you know, to give up our life. But in all honesty, even with our greatest efforts, you and I must say, but I cannot. And yes, you are right. None of us can. None of us can ever love the way Jesus did. And this is because this kind of love is supernatural love. And we need God's supernatural strength to do it. And that's why in the previous chapter, in John chapter 14, especially in verses 16 and 26, Jesus was telling them about the coming of God, the Holy Spirit, who will live in all believers and empower them to do great things. But all we have to do is ask. Ask. And Jesus told his disciples to ask for the empowering, for the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And here is the good news. Whenever God gives us a command to do anything, He always provides the power, the tool to do it. If you and I only learn to ask for them and learn to depend on Him for His empowering. And with His power, we can love the way Jesus loved. So today, as we celebrate Good Friday and remember how Jesus loved us so much that He went to the cross for us, but we also want to be challenged by the love of God. Because today, Jesus is saying to all of us who are His disciples, Jesus is saying, by my sacrificial love, I will make you my friend. And He's also saying to us, but I'm also commanding you to let my love flow out of your life into the lives of people around you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another. So today, you and I, instead of saying, oh, I can't exhibit that kind of sacrificial agape love. Today you can. You can leave this place saying, I can love like Jesus loved. Because Jesus commanded me to do it. And He is going to empower me through God, the Holy Spirit, who's living in me. And you and I today, all we need to do is to ask and then to surrender, to give up the control of our lives to Him. And you and I, we can love the way Jesus loved. And to those of you who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, you're not a Christian. You may think you are a Christian, but you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You too can have this life that is filled with purpose, meaning, and joy. If you would acknowledge that you're a sinner, because the Bible calls all of us sinners, And the wages of sin is death. If today you reject the love of Jesus that was shown on the cross, if you reject that, God will have to punish you in hell. But you don't have to go to hell, because God don't want anyone to go to hell. But it's your choice. So you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and took your place. And then call out to Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. It's not an insurance program, I assure you that. It's a tough life that is called to walk and follow after the step of Jesus in obedience. But the good news is, He will give you the power to do it. And you and I can live the most exciting life on planet Earth. It need not be very long, but it can be exciting and joyful. What do you say? I hope that those of you who have not yet come into a personal relationship with Jesus would make your decision today, because you may not have tomorrow. Just turn to the pages of your papers. We just read that 2 days ago, the ferry sank in Korea, in South Korea. 200 over students going there for a holiday. 25 confirmed dead as at this morning. Many are still unaccounted for. And hello, how many of you are going to be alive tomorrow? And I'm speaking to those of us who are also disciples of Jesus. We need to get our own lives back in shape, because we may stand before Jesus before the day is done today. We just don't know. But the good news is, Jesus loves you. And He is here. He is able to give you the strength to live this life, if only you would just submit yourself to Him. Surrender to Him. He has got to be God, because He is God. He has to be God in your life. Or are you God in your lives today? You've got to check yourself. Because when one day, and I hope not soon for you, I know I'm going to die very soon because I'm the oldest here. And we've got to be ready. We want to be ready. If any one of you need to recommit your lives to Jesus, you know you're not doing well, you can do it right now, where you're seated. Just tell Him you're sorry and turn back to Him. And if any one of you who do not have Jesus in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do it today too. I will be happy to pray with you after the service. I'll still be here. All right. I'm going to pass the time back to Isaac. And after the meeting, I'll be happy to pray with you. Or the friends who brought you, they'll be happy to pray with you and tell you more about Jesus. Don't delay. You may not be around tomorrow.